Okay, we start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yutad Amud Bet. The Mishnah begins, Ve'en usim, you cannot make tachshitim lovedat kochavim, can make jewelry for avodah zara, kadlaot, right, whether it's chokers, necklaces, nizamim, right, earrings, v'tabaot, and rings. Rabbi Elazar omer, b'schar mutar. Elazar says that if you get paid for it, then it's not a problem, because you're getting paid to do whatever work it is. What they do with the item afterwards is their issue. Up to this point in the Mishnah, Tosa says, Einan Garsinan, it doesn't exist. Says there's no such thing as a Tana, who would be matir, someone to make jewelry for Avodah Zarah. Who could ever think of such a thing? So Tosa says he doesn't think the Girsa is correct, and therefore he eliminates this from the Girsa. And he says that he doesn't think it was in Rashi's Girsa either, because he says Rashi doesn't explain what katla'ot are, even though in other places katla'ot, like chokers or necklaces, but he says the fact that Rashi makes no comment on this part of the Mishnah indicates that probably didn't exist. So therefore, Tosos wants to eliminate this part of the Mishnah. Then, in mukhrim lahem b'mechubar l'karka, now you're not allowed to sell them something that is attached to the ground, but you can sell it to them once it is cut off. You can sell it to him on the condition that he removes it, on the condition that he cuts it off. So Mar wants to know Menahani Mile. So now, where is this from? So the fact is that the Gemara asks Menahani Mile only in the second half of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah, the Gemara totally ignores. So again, another raya to the fact that it doesn't belong or it doesn't exist. So that's what Tosfos suggested over here. So now, how do we know that you can't sell them something that is mechubar the karko? So Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, the Amar Kral, the Posuk says, Lo techanem, lo titen lem chaniya bakarko. Not glad to give them any parking. No, we're not allowed to give them any location, not to give them any stronghold or hold on the land itself. You're not permitted to give up land to a Oved Kochavim. Kama says, Hi, Lotina Khanim Miboile, Dohi Kama Rahmano. Right, we need that. Lotitain Lahem Khain. Wait a minute, we need the Lotichanim to teach us the other din. The other din, which is Lotitain Lahem Khain. You're not allowed to be complimentary towards them. What does that mean? Rashi says, Yomar Kama Ovid Kochavim Zinae. You can't give such compliments towards them. Now, I don't think it means that you can't be nice, courteous, and complimentary towards a person or a non-Jew. But I think it means is that they should not be held up in some way. A person shouldn't idolize. A person shouldn't look towards those qualities as being something that is exceptional. I mean, also it would bring questions about wearing, many times kids wear jerseys with the names of players, professional players on them, which is exactly this. Lotitelem Chain is exactly this violation, is that they're holding up or we're idolizing a certain business in Ovi Kochavim. So this is Lotitelem Chain. So Gemara says, Im Chain, Lema Kra, Lotichu Name. Now, truthfully, grammatically, it doesn't really make a difference, but Rashi says, Lotichu Name is Bekriya Malay was more Chanina, Lashon Chanina, and therefore you would have thought it was Chain. The fact that it's an used Tichu Name and uses my Lotichu Name, that it didn't do a Malay. That's, I mean, he's saying that if you make it into a Malay, if it was Malay, you would have thought the word was more Chain. Now that you don't have it as a Malay, you think you have another drush. So the question of why when it's a Malay, you think it's more Chain, I don't think there's any grammatical compelling reason to say that. But nevertheless, the Gemara says it could have written Lot Chaim, instead of writes Lot Chanaim, Shema Mina Tarte. Therefore, you can learn both items out. You can learn out both Lot Titen Lahem Chaim and Lot Titen Lahem Chaniya Bakarka. Gemara says, Vakate mi Bailei Dochia Machrono. We also have another one. She says, Lot Titen Lahem Matnat Shochinam. You're allowed to give them free gifts. You're not allowed to just give things to a Oved Kochavim without any remuneration. So Gemara says, Im Kein Lamar Kara Lo Techinam. If you're there, here, maybe you have a better one. Lo Techinam, at least there with the Yud, it's Chinam. My Lo Techanim, Shema Min HaKulu. You can learn all three things. Had it written Techunim, you would have thought it was for the Din of Chain. If you said Techinam, you thought it was the Din of Chinam. Now it writes Lo Techanim, it means both of those plus Lo Techanim, Lo Titen Lahem, Chaniya Bakarka. So we have Tanya Nami Ochi. We have a Braisa that says a similar thing, which is Lo Techanim, Lo Titen Lahem, Chaniya Bakarka. Devar Acher, Lo Techanim, Lo Titen Lahem, Chain. So you see that the Braita learns out from this word all three of these drashot that they apply. Gemara says, "Umatnat chinam gufei tnai." If whether you're allowed to give a gift for free is a subject to a machlokas tanaim, detanya we have a Braita. Lo tochlu kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat any nevela. Lagera shebisharecha tidena. So you take the nevela, either give it to the ger, meaning that not a ger as a ger tzedek, but a ger toshav in your neighborhood, or you have to sell it to the nechri. The way the pasuk lays it out is that for the ger toshav you have to give it to him, whereas by the obed kachavim you actually have to sell it to him based on what the pasuk says. It says the ger b'mechira minayin. How do I know that you can also sell it to a ger toshav? Now, ger toshav, as Rashi lays out here, is a ger toshav shekibil alav sheva mitzvot shenistavu b'nei noach. Except, the ger toshav, someone accepts the sheva mitzvot b'nei noach. We're going to see later on in the Masechta, it happens to be a machlokas tanaim about what you have to do to actually be a ger toshav, whether you need all sheva mitzvot or not to be classified as a ger toshav. So now, how do I know about a ger by mechira? Tamad omar, tidnena o machor. Right, so that it says by the ger, if you read it, or the way the layout of the pasuk is, if you just look at the pasuk, it says, lo tochlu kol nevela, so we'll leave that. Then la ger, it starts out with who the person, the subject is, right? The ger asher bisharecha tidnena vachala. Then it says, oh, if you were going to say or, then it should say, lenachri machor. If you're going to use the same structure that was before. But what it does is it puts the ger in the beginning, puts the nachri in the end, and then in between them it places the tnena and the machor. So if you reparse the pasuk to read like this, which you could, lo tochlu kol neiva, the ger asher bisharecha tidnena vachla o machor. You could parse it that way. And the other way around, which the Gemara is going to do in a second, or you can write, tidnena vachla o machor lenachri. Meaning that depending where you parse the pasuk, now because of the way the pasuk is laid out, that the ger and the nachri are not parallel in their structure, you could now mix the two statements, the one of nitina and one of mechira, you can apply to either one of them. And that's what the Gemara is doing now, or the Braita is doing now. And the ger b'nitina lo b'chachavim b'mechira, the ger and lo b'chachavim b'mechira, the ger b'mechira minal, and tamal omar, tidnena o machor. Lo b'chachavim b'nitina, how do I know you can give it to an lo b'chachavim minal, and tamal omar, tidnena b'chla o machor l'nachri. So if you reparse the pasuk, you can give both of those two actions, apply either to the nachri or to the ger. Nimsa ata omer, echad ger v'echad kochavim, ben b'nitina, ben b'mechira, divi Rabbi Meir. Meir says we're indifferent between selling, giving to a ger toshav, selling and giving to a ovid kochavim. But what's obvious from Rabbi Meir is there's no problem of giving a matnat chinam to a ovid kochavim. So over here you're allowed to, according to this pasuk, nitina, you can give a nevela to an ovid kochavim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Amer, Dvarim Kichtavam. Like, what's written is what it means. The ger minitina, oloi v'kochavim v'mechira. You give it, you can give it to a ger toshav, and you can give it to oloi v'kochavim v'mechira, and you could sell it to an oloi v'kochavim. So Mer says, Shapir kamar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's position makes a lot of sense. Now, I don't know what that means, it makes a lot of sense. He's reparsing the pasuk, it's not so simple, but his logic that the pasuk doesn't have a parallel structure between the ger and the nachri indicates to us that there's some sort of mix or something that the o in the pasuk is not coming to separate between them, but rather just to say either or. So now the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, Isak Adatcho Ki Amar Ki Dukei Amar." If you think that what Rabbi Meir is saying is correct, if you like Rabbi Meir, Lechtov Rachmana Titnena Vachla Umachor. Then just write it. You write them all together. You give it, you can eat it, and you'll sell it. What's the O? Why do you need to separate with O? Lomali. I don't need an O in there anymore. It's not or. It's tidnena, right? And machor. And you don't even need the nachri. If you could do that, right? You could just, if you could do that to a nachri, certainly you can do that to a ger toshav. And there's no question over here. Sushma mina. So, the O comes to teach you to keep them separate. One is the ger toshav gets it given to him for free, and the nachri has to pay for it. Rabbi Meir, so why does Rabbi Meir say, what does he do with the O? How do dume nitina ger la ger de mechir la do chachamim? That's to give precedence to the giving of it for free to the ger, right, rather than selling it to the oved kochavim. So now, Gemara says, okay, Rabbi Yehuda, kaven de ger atam mitzuveh la hachayoto. Uknani, I atam mitzuveh l'chayi achato. Lagdim lo tzarich kro. I don't need a pasuk to tell me which gets precedence. One of them I have an obligation to ensure that they are taken care of. One I don't. So there, obviously, the netina would give priority, would give precedence to the netina, to the ger, to shav, over mechira to the nochri. Now, the first question you have to ask is, wait a minute, even according to Rabbi Meir, who says, why would we give precedence to netina over mechira? And even according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the conclusion, it sounds like even that's illogical that you would give him precedence. Who would ever say such a thing? What, you have an obligation to give it to a ger to shav for free rather than sell it to a nachri? You don't even have an obligation like that to a Jew, another Yisrael. Another Yisrael, you don't have to give it to him for free rather than selling it to him. Also, now we're obligating you to give something for free instead of selling it? Where do we ever hear such a thing that you have to do it? Maybe we have an obligation, for instance, by Yisrael, that Yisrael is willing to pay the same price, or maybe even a little less, we give him preferential treatment. But that doesn't say they give it for free. There's no obligation to give it to him for free. So Tosas asks the question. It's the second to last last Tosas. He says, "Vim Tomar b'chi yesh lo adam chayfetz limkori nenu leger kodem shikamer lo de chavim." V'lo af Yisrael enim mitzuv al kach. V'yesh lomar. He says the answer is the davka nevela shena shovel adaver muat. So says the Yisrael, since it's kind of not worth, it's not worth so much. Nevela to a Yisrael, shalei ov dechavim mitzuyim b'nehem, because they didn't have non-Jews living amongst them. O deger hi shaver arbeh kishar basar. To him, it's like regular food. So to him, it's worth a lot. To you, it's worth almost nothing. So therefore, give it to him, and you'll be doing a mitzvah of being lechayoto, but you won't be giving up a lot on your own. This Tosos is parallel to a Tosos we saw earlier, but Tosos asked the question, how is it permissible for us to sell agalim and sayachim to the Ovdei Kuchavim Ayom? He says, he tries to go through all these different permutations of why maybe this is the etter, this is the etter. In the end, he says, I don't know what the etter is. We end up selling it to them. Because, and then he says, we shouldn't be able to sell it to them, but, B'yesh Lamar, that was in their days. Why? There are many Jews living together. And when there are many Jews together, there was always another Jew you could sell it to. If he didn't need this animal, he would sell it to his friend, and he wouldn't lose. If he doesn't sell it, he'll lose a lot of money. And where are we? We are in the middle of the Ovdei Chachamim. We live amongst the Ovdei Chachamim. We don't have these concentrations of Jewish settlement or Jewish cities where we can say that no matter what, you can always sell it to a Jew. That doesn't exist. It's not a reality for us. And Tosfos says the same thing over here, that all the Jews, they live together, and therefore a nevela, nobody could sell the nevela to. There was no buyers of the nevela because there was no Ovdei Chachamim. There was all Israelim. So therefore, for him to give it away is no big deal. It's not worth anything. Therefore, he gives it to the ger to shav. But it's not true in general. You don't have to give items in general, things of value. You're not going to have to give to them without selling it to another chachamim. There's no requirement there. It happens to be this is a unique case that we don't worry about it. The other thing that Tosfos points out is that we have Rabbi Yehuda in other places. The position of Rabbi Yehuda is that you're allowed to give, or you have to give it, you're allowed to give a ovik chachamim, a matna or matana. You're allowed to give it a matnat chinam to a big chachavim. So how do we reconcile between these, the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have the ach aser matnat chinam lo v'dei chachavim. According to Rabbi Yehuda here, it sounds like giving it to an Ovdei Chachavim, a matana, is asur. And yet another place, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda, it's fine to give it to him. So he tosses mechalik here, it's a very important chiluk. It has other implications actually in other places. Shistos says, depends if the Ovdei Chachavim knows you or not. Matnat chinam means I'm doing it for absolutely no reason and I have no benefit from it. That's a matnat chinam. If I give it to a Ovdei Chachamim who knows me, that is not a matnat chinam anymore. Why? Because the gift is going to make him, want to do something quid pro quo, give you a gift back, or he's going to treat you in a different way. You are going to get benefit from the gift, like giving a tip. When you give a tip, you give a tip because of the service that's provided, and you expect that that service will help you out in the future also. But you're paying for something that's been provided. You're not giving it a matnat chinam, because you do expect something back from, or you expect it to get something in order to give the tip. So that's not a problem of matnat chinam. Matnat chinam is we have no idea who the person is, and you give them a gift. We have no further contact with them and you give them a gift. In that instance, that's called a matnat chinam. And that has an issue with yayin. For instance, when you get many people, when you get yayin, or pasmo yayin nesach, or stem yayin, when we have in the happens during the holidays, happens outside in Chutzlar is a lot, you get these wines, they're not kosher, you can't do anything to them. Then what do you do with these wines? So now you're allowed, if you give it to someone who knows you, if you give it to a guy who knows you, you're getting benefit. You're getting hanoah from this item. Because he knows you and you're giving him a gift. So you have to give it to somebody who has no clue who you are, and has no benefit that will be in contact with you afterwards, or will help you afterwards. That's what it means, manat chinam. So they went to establish. Talking about manat chinam, it really means chinam, that there is no expected benefit. Not that there's no remuneration. Not that there's no compensation. It's that there is no benefit expected. But if you expect a benefit, it's no longer a matnat chinam. The most important Tosfos is the first Tosfos on the Amud, and it's an extremely, extremely important Tosfos. Tosfos says the pasuk of Alot Chaneim is found in a series of halachot that deal with the Shiva Amamim. Deal with the seven nations. In the Psukim, it says, Lo techaneh kol neshama over there. Not allowed to let anybody live. Right? There are other halachot that you're not allowed to accept them, begirutam. If they convert, you're not allowed to accept them, you're not allowed to marry them, you're not allowed to have them be part of the cow, even if they're gerim. Now, it also says over there, the halachot only apply to the Zayin Amamim. Well, if we keep that consistent, that means lo techaneh that's found in that context should only apply to the Zayin Amamim, to the seven nations. That would mean the problem of lotechanim, alutinam chaniyabakarka, and the problem of lotinam chain, and the problem of manat chinam would only apply to the seven nations. Tosa says, can't be. Has to be that it applies broadly to all the nations. Ah, what about all these other alochot? So Tosa goes on to make a distinction. He says, yesh taima rabo. There's a great reason by each of the items why I say, or why the Chacham said that there's ikatam rabat lo matzin lo kminim be'el b'zayin umot. Each one of these psukim is specific to the zayin umot. For instance, lo techayek kol neshama. They're not allowed to let any of them live. That can only be talking about the zayin amamim, because we have a specific statement in the psukim that you can keep other nations v'ayula mas v'abducha. You can make a tax them and keep them as avadim. So the fact that the Torah permits it in one place means that it can't be talking about all nations. Number two. Kiyasir, the problem of them taking away your children or causing you to be a mesir. Tosa says over there that they are mesiri tvei, they shebimot. And therefore, the lotit chatein, or the ability not to have them come, to voba kahal, is also, because we find later on, where we have that in Parsha and Devarim, right, that when it comes to accepting gerim, you're not allowed to accept gerim from Moavim, Amonim, Mitzri Ador Shlishi. But the Torah doesn't preclude any gerim. It doesn't say nobody can be a ger. No, it says just these items and those exclusions. But that means that everybody else should be mutar to be a ger. And over here, if you said it doesn't apply to Shevet Amim, it would apply to everybody. So then he goes on and says, all right, matnat chinam, netinat chaim and chaniya, ain't shum tam lechalik. There's no reason to differentiate between Zayin Amim and other umot. And therefore, there would be a problem of having or doing certain things with them. First of all, giving them matanot chinam, giving them land, and possibility of not complimenting them may not apply more broadly than the Zayin Amamim. So therefore, the Kritut, the only question he has is by Kritut Brit, by establishing a covenant with them. So he says, what do you do about the fact that you can establish a covenant? We know that Shlomo HaMelech had a Brit with Hiram HaMelech. So we see that he did have a Brit, even though over there it says, you're not allowed to have any covenants with them. So hey, if you're not allowed to have covenants with them, what, so does that apply to all the umot or only Zayin Amamim? According to Tosfos, it should apply to everyone. So why is Lo Tichrot Brit unique to the Zayin Amamim? So Tosfos brings at the end, Ikal HaMeimar, B'shat Kibush Kaimei, B'lo Tichayeh. During the time of conquering the land, then you have to destroy, kill them all. Shalom B'shat Kibush Kaimei B'Yisr Kritut Brit. Kritut Brit takes over after the kibush is over. I mean, when you have kibush, you have to do a lot of chayek on neshama. Once you finish kibush, then you're saddled with the lotech brit. You're not allowed to make a covenant with them. We see that from the givonim. Right? They weren't allowed to make a brit with the givonim, but it sounds like it was because they were givonim. Had they not been givonim, it would have been fine. Inami mishum da aduke ba vodok chavim tvei. The shiva amimim, which we know, because the kumasei, eretz kanaan, lotasu, that they point out that they were tied to a avodah zarah. And being tied to avodah zarah, more tied to avodah zarah, therefore we say lo tichrot brit. Don't make any covenants with them, because they're dangerous. It's dangerous to be partners with these individuals, because they're so close to avodah zarah. What comes out of Tosos is very important. It's Minyana Dioma. Let's take a minute to speak about it. That the peace talks just began yesterday again. And the peace talks involve this problem of Lo titen lehem chaniya bakarka. How can you give up land for peace? Here it is. It's a specific Yisurah Torah. It's a lav min Torah. That one may not or one is not permitted to give up a land for peace. In, or land at all. One can't give up land at all within Eretz Yisrael. So if, well, by what it looked to Chanim is in general, any person, no person can give up land within Eretz Yisrael to a, according to Tosfos, it's not limited to the Shivamim, it includes any Sharumot, anybody. And you see in the Rambam also begins, you could have argued, the Rambam begins as talking about Shivamim. But the end of the parak, when the Rambam speaks about it, he switches back, I'll send you all the Makorot, he switches back, it sounds like he's talking about anybody. And there's a problem with anybody. So what do you do over here? So I have two articles that I'll send out to you. An article by Rav Schechter, also an article by Rav Bleich, that speak about exactly this issue when it comes to land for peace. And when it comes to the problem of Lo Tichanim, right, there's a problem or possibility of Pikuach Nefesh. When it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, we know that there is no requirement to be Areg, the Al Yavor, except for the three cardinal sins. Lo Tichanim is not one of those three cardinal sins. So if there is a Pikuach Nefesh, and there's a value in giving up the land, maybe there's no requirement, or avoiding a situation of Sakana Fasho may permit you to violate Lo Tichanim. Now you have to speak, the other thing to speak about is Milchemet Mitzvah, that we have a specific statement, the Minchat Chinuch, as well as the great-grandfather of Soloveitchik, the Rav Yosef Dov, Alevi Soloveitchik, who was his great-grandfather, also said a similar thing, the Beis Alevi said a similar thing, that when it comes to Mechemet Mitzvah, you can't say that Sakarat and Fashot is Doche, the Mitzvah of Mechemet Mitzvah. Because war in of itself, Mechoma, requires the loss of life. I mean, that's the definition of Milchama. And therefore, over here, if it requires us to go to war to protect the land and to protect the property, then maybe we should have to do it, even at the cost of lives, even at the cost of life, because Mechemet Mitzvah involves the loss of life. And defending the land of Israel, defending one's property or possessions, would be classified as a Mechemet Mitzvah. If that's the case, then maybe Pikuach Nefesh is not an issue over here. Even in the face of Pikuach Nefesh, one should have to hold on to the land, because you're required to fight a Mechemet Mitzvah, even though it puts your life in danger. The problem and the thing that's raised by all is the Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Gittin. Yochanan in the Gemara in Gittin, when the Romans laid siege, Vespasian laid siege to Yerushalayim, and inside they have the bar, with his nephew, has a discussion with his nephew, who is the head of the Bar Yonim, that he says, we have to surrender to the Romans. We have to give up, not, he didn't even just give up everything, so give up Yerushalayim, he gave up the Mikdash. He's willing to give up everything to pay truce to the Romans. So here you see that you're allowed to give up land in the order of Sakana Nefashot. Rabbi Yochanan is a classic example. He's willing to cede Yerushalayim and the Mikdash in order to save the Jewish lives in Yerushalayim. So it's over. So Rav Schechter says that the difference there, or as Rav Schechter clearly differentiates and says, that over there, it was a futile battle. Rabbi Yochanan knew they were going to lose the war, and it was going to come at a heavy price. So the only question was, if they surrender now on better terms, and they gain something from it, or they're just all going to be wiped out. So in that case, when it's a futile battle, or a battle that has no chance of success, there's no command of waging a war that has no value or no success. So that's what Rav Schechter says. That's what Rabbi Yochanan's talking about. Over here, in our case, it's not clear that the war is futile. Now again, it might not be clear that it's a victory, or a clear victory can be won. That's what he mentions over here. It might be that we can win the battles, but we'll never win the war. You can win each little battle, but in the end, we'll never win the war. And therefore, it's a stalemate. A stalemate in the sense that it's not clear whether giving up land for peace is valuable or not valuable. Will we get peace? We don't know. Right? And will it prevent Pikuach Nefesh? We don't really know. On the other hand, right, should we stand up against it? Should we say no because it's Lo Tichanim and we have to go to war over this and lose lives? Over there, if the war is futile or the war is not going to succeed, there's no obligation to do it. And will the war succeed or not? It's not clear whether we will succeed or not succeed at keeping it. So therefore, he leaves it that land for peace, in a sense, is a decision that has to be made. Now, who makes that decision? Rav Schechter wants to suggest that it should be by the victims or the people who are affected by it. Mechemet Mitzvah, they're coming to take our homeland. They're coming to take the place where we live. defense of the homeland is classified as a mechemet mitzvah, as we spend time explaining. And therefore, everybody who would be required to fight, or everybody who would fight for their homeland, should be the ones who decide for this. Who's that? Those are the Darim, Eretz Yisrael. The residents of Eretz Yisrael should get to make that decision, because they're the victims, they're the ones who defend. They have a choice to make. Do they want to defend or not? So therefore, Rav Shechter claims that you have to put out a referendum. You need a referendum that the majority of the people will acquiesce to giving it back, thinking, or on the position that they think it will gain them peace. Now, if the military says, for certain we can win the war, or if the military says, for sure we will not get peace, meaning the experts say we will not get peace for sure, then there's no right to give up the land in order, because you're not getting the peace. Right? Or if the military says we can win the war, then you don't have a right to walk away, and possibly it might be an obligation to go to war in that case. He talks about the Tchalta de Gula, maybe there's an obligation to go to war. But Bleich takes a slightly different approach on the position of Yochanan. He brings down the issue of Yochanan giving up and the difference between a futile battle and not. But then he brings up a second case of what's called a Baba Machteret. Baba Machteret is somebody comes quietly and tries to steal from you. You're allowed to kill this individual because the underlying assumption is that this individual will, if you stand up to stop him from doing it, he knows that if you're going to see your money taken, you're going to stand up and try to kill him or stop him. So therefore he will kill. He's coming, al iskei nefashot. He's willing to kill if that's what it means to get the money out of him when he has to steal. Now, the decision that we have that we're permitted to kill him is only because of the Balabayit's decision that he wants to stand up against the robber. He has a choice. He can either let him take the property. If he lets him take the property, there's going to be no, he's not going to stand up, and therefore the robber will never be a killer, because he won't fight him against him, and there you can then kill him, the robber, because he never intended to kill. On the other hand, if the Balabayit decides he wants to stand up for his property, he says, I'm not willing to give up my property, he's going to stand up next to the robber then does intend to kill him, and therefore you can kill him. But whose decision is it? It's the decision of the Balabayit. So Rabbi wants to suggest the same thing over here, that what's true on the individual level is true on the national level. That at the national level, there's a decision that can be made whether we're willing to stand up for the property or not. Are we willing, at the risk of life and loss of life, to stand up for our homes and stand up for our property? Is the answer yes or no? Now he says, in terms of making the decision, that the appointed leaders can make the decision, that there is not, as opposed to Rav Shechter, who thinks there has to be a referendum of the Kol Yishuvei Eretz Yisrael, and his definition of who's a Bar Eretz Yisrael, according to Rav Shechter, it's not just that you live here. You have to live here, you have to be a Shomer Mitzvot, you have to believe in Torah Misinai. There's a lot of qualifications in order to be a person who votes. It would not be just the broad population of Eretz Yisrael would get to vote. Right, non-Jews, as well as Jews, who are not, don't subscribe to halacha necessarily, or certain aspects of halacha, so therefore they might also be precluded. On the other hand, Rav Bleich thinks that the decision can be made, decisions made by community or nation, the balabatim, through their designated representatives. Government officials and military commanders must carefully analyze all the relevant military, political, and economic consequences of the options available to them, and exercise their discretion in the formulation of an appropriate response. So that's it. And then only people who are privy to all the considerations can formulate policy in a prudent manner. So therefore, he says what's true on an individual level is computed on a communal level, and the communal decision can be made by the leaders of the nation. Rav Shechter says he doesn't feel like they necessarily have a lochic determination to make that decision, whereas Rav Bleich mentioned in his article this idea that the Ramban, when he's arguing on the Rambam about in the Sefer HaMitzvot that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael should be included, there the Ramban seems to indicate that any governing body in Eretz Yisrael that's helping the settlement of the land, helping the Jews in the land, would be classified like the Sanhedrin. And therefore the government today would have a classification of Sanhedrin, would be representative of the Am, or a Melech, not a Melech in the real sense, but Melech as a representative of the Am. Right, so they could make the decision in that sense. According to Rabbi Bleich, Rav Shechter says you need a referendum. And Rav Shechter gives a mashal about a sick person. Sick person, if you can be amputate an iver to save the person's life, then if Rufim say for sure that it will save his life to amputate, you must amputate. You don't have a choice. You don't give him a choice. Even if he says no, you amputate because you have an obligation to save his life. Well, then, if the doctors are uncertain as to whether it'll work or not, whether it will save his life or not, the decision reverts to the chole. The chole gets to make the decision. But if the doctors say either way, that if they cut it off, for certain he will survive, or if they cut off for certain he will die, in either of those two instances, the doctors make the decision, not him. It's only when it's a safek that you make it. And the same thing over here, he says, by Eretz Yisrael. If it's a safek, the people get to make the decision. If it's not a safek, it's for sure not going to work, or for sure will work, then the military advisors, like the doctors, can make the decision, should make the decision in that instance. It's a very important halacha. Again, they're beginning the peace talks again. I thought it was relevant in Yonah Dioma. And this is the puzzle. Lo Techaneim is one of the major issues to deal with. The other major issue that comes out of this, I'll just bring it up. I won't touch on it. It's Heter Mechira. The problem of Heter Mechira also involves Lo Techaneim because you're selling land in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. And therefore, it's maybe a violation of Lo Techaneim. Anyway, even though the contracts are made, or maybe the way to get around is the contracts are made in a way that it's Amanat Lachzor, that there has a certain amount of Chazara built in. It's not giving them permanent residence here, and therefore maybe it's permitted. But there are the Tshuvot, I'll send you that, discuss it from the perspective, is it a problem? Enter Mechira problem from Loti Chanein. Alright, now the Gemara continues. Mesayile L'Rav. That Loti Tim L'Mcheim, the fact that you're not allowed to give them compliments, that should help Rav. Damar Rav. Sur L'Adam Shiomar, Kama Ne'el V'Dar Chalvim Zu. How beautiful is this? Don't you? Native, how could that be? My sibber of Shimon Gamliel, Shaya Agabe Maleb Harabite, he was on a step on Harabite, Veral with that Kochavim Ahatna Abilter. Saw this beautiful non-Jewish woman who was walking there. Amar Mara Huma Sech Hashem. What a beautiful woman. Hashem, you are an unbelievable creator. Veraf Rabbi Akiva, Ra Ishit Tunus Rufus. He saw the wife of Tunus Rufus, Arasha. Rak, he spit. Esachak, he laughed. Ubachai cried. Rak, he spit. Shaita ba'am mitipas shrucha. Because she came from tipas shrucha. Esachak, he laughed. Da atida de mitgaira. In the future, she was going to convert. Vinosivla, and he was going to marry her. Bacha, he cried. Because he says, I shufa bali afro. In the end, this beauty is going to go back to the dirt, the earth, the dust of the earth. And therefore, he cried. There's one other story, very similar, if you remember the Gemara in Brochot. Anybody remembers the Gemara in Brochot by Rabbi Yochanan? When Rabbi Yochanan goes in to visit Rabbi Lazar, when Rabbi Lazar gets sick, he goes in to visit Rabbi Lazar, and the place is dark. So while it's dark, he takes up, he says, Gani b'vay da'afel, galia da'dare. Lifts up his arm, v'na'afel onuhura, and there was light there. Chazidah v'kabochi Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar was crying. Why am I kabochit? Why are you crying? He says, Imashim Torah, Adolf Ashto, you didn't learn enough Torah, Shaninu, Echadam Arbev, Echadam Amid, Vach Kevin the Bullish Amayim. Doesn't matter quantitatively, it's that you had kavono, that you did it. Imashim Zone, if it's because of Parnasa, local Adam Zuchelish, Dei Shulchanot. Not everybody gets Parnasa in this world. Imashim Bnei, it's because of your children. It says, Dain, Garmo Dasri Abir, this is the bone or the tooth of my 10th son that died, passed away. So now what he says, crying for the fact that you, Rabbi Yochanan, your beauty is going to return, your such beauty is going to return to the dust of the earth. So very similar, same lessons. He says, if that's what you're crying for, Rabbi Yochanan joins him in crying. But that's the same lesson here of the Bachal Shubali B'Shufra Ara. The story of Eshet Tunis Rufus, I searched, I could not find it in Chazal, to be honest with you, I cannot find the Midrash, I cannot find a Chazal anywhere that mentions this about Eshet Tunis Rufus. The story is brought in the Gemara in Nidarim. The Gemara in Nidarim quotes the story, but it never mentions what happened or the details of the story, which are mentioned in the Ran. So here he brings from the Gemara in Nidarim. The Gemara in Nidarim says that Rabbi Akiva got rich for six reasons. Six people made Rabbi Akiva rich. So all of them, he goes through each one of them. Who are those six people that made? Meshit mila ita Rabbi Akiva, min kalba sabua, right? Mi ila desfinata, from kalba sabua is his father-in-law, right? Ila desfinata, which is a story about the certain piece that they have on every boat that he found on and he was able to get, right? Min gavza, right? That we won't, again, that's from money from the boats. And then the next two are min matronita from a matron, umin ishto shel Tunis Rufus, the wife of Tunis Rufus, umin ktia bar shalom, which we read in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud. When he jumps in, he says, all my possessions should go to Rabbi Kiva v'chavirav. Rabbi Kiva goes 50-50. Rabbi Kiva gets 50%, they all get other 50%. So ktia bar shalom gave him money. So that we know. But the Eshet Tunis Rufus, that's all it says in the Gemara in the Dharm. Just says that was Eshet Tunis Rufus. Doesn't say how he got it. The Ran brings the story down and says, Shaya Rabbi Kiva mipchob cried before Caesar. Rabbi Akiva was beating him up in front of the Caesar with Psukim. He was beating Tunis Rufus. He was, you know, making fun of him, but not in that, you know, a sense that he was way on top. He was winning all the debates. Pamachad Bala Beito Zar Vzaf. Came home and he was all despondent about this. Amrlo, he told me, "Pnei ma panecha zulafim. Why are you so despondent?" Pnei Rabbi Akiva, shemikanter oti b'chol yom b'dvarim. Akiva beats me every day in these debates. So he says, "Amrlo, elukayem shel elu sone zima." Says the gods of these people hate zima. Who zima? Tainli reshut. Give me permission. Lachshil oto. I'll go and I'll get Rabbi Akiva. So b'dvar vera. Not on the reshut. He gives her permission. Vinitkashto Valchala, she dressed up and went to him. It's a Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Uta, when he sees her, Rak, he spits, Shachak, Sachak, he laughed, Ubachan, he cried. So Amra lo ma inun hanachtlat, Milin, why'd you do these? Amra, Shnaim Efresh, Shlishi lo Efresh. I'll explain too, the third one I will not explain. Rakakti, I spit, Ashabad mi tipas rucha, that you come from a tipas rucha. Tosfos, who brings over there, brings a gear, says a different gear. So he says, "Oh, why did he spit?" He says, "That she'at kutit, right? You're a non-Jew. Ubat mitvas chural psula, and you're a pasul. That's why he spit." Then it says, "Bacha, why are you bacha?" So he says that Amalo from Bachiti al Haishufu the Balibara, right? Then, oh. Sachak, he laughed. It tells why. She was going to convert and marry him. He didn't want to tell her. Amar lo klum yesh tshuva. Am I able to do tshuva? Amar la hein. He said yes. Halcha v'nitgayra. She went ahead and was nitgayer. V'nasad lo the Rabbi Akiva. Married Rabbi Akiva. Yichnas lo mamon arbe. That he brought all the money from Tudas Rufus. She brought into the marriage. So that's how he got rich. Rashi's girsa is slightly different. Tosfos has a similar girsa to the Ran about the story. Rashi's story ends. He's Averuach HaKodesh, Tosfos says. Rashi says that she pressed him on the third issue until he told her that she was going to convert and marry him. Makes a huge difference about Geirin, whether you have that guy, Rashi's girsa or not. According to the Tosfos and Ran's girsa, she didn't know that she was going to marry Rabbi Akiva. So she converted of her own volition and then later on married Rabbi Akiva. Another, according to Rashi's Girsa, she knew that when she converted, she was going to marry Rabbi Akiva. So that may have tainted the conversion, tainted the gay route. Right, so Rashi, now Rashi in the Dorim, we know is, not as well redacted, not as well written. So therefore it might have, you know, issues. But I'm just telling you that that Girsa that Rashi has, again, I can't find it in Chazal, where the actual quote in Chazal is, but it's brought by the Rishonim as if it was a known story, like a known Mesorah that they had about the story. So that's the background to the story that we have over here. Later on in his life, right? After Rachel passed away, it was later. It's clearly later on in his life that he marries her. Right now, the Gemara says, what about Rav? Right? That he's talking about, when it comes to Adol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Damamar, HaRu'eh Briot Tovot, someone sees beautiful creations, Omer, Baruch Shekacha, argues of Shekacha Lo Bi'olamo. There's a bracha, we're seeing a beautiful non-Jew, a beautiful non-Jewish woman. There's a bracha, Baruch Shekacha Lo Bi'olamo. So if, depends what it means. Rav's statement is about giving chayin, is about complimenting them directly. Meaning, is that giving the compliment to them or about them? Where the compliment's not about hoda'ala kodesh baruch hu, but it's about upholding them or uplifting them, giving them praise in that sense. On the other hand, right, what we're talking about here, the case of Rabbi Akiva and the case of Shimon Gamliel, is that they're making a bracha, they're giving thanks to a kodesh baruch hu. They're saying, Ma rabu masech Hashem. Rabbi Akiva was crying about this beauty that's going to be balabaro. He's crying about the creation of Hashem that's going to be lost. He's giving odah to Hashem. So now the Gemara says, Gemara asks an unbelievable question here. Ulis tekula mishori. Great. So now you explain the difference. The difference is between whether he gives odah to Hashem or you're giving odah, or you're actually complimenting them or you're elevating them. Again, when I said earlier, I don't think it means to compliment, to be nice to them. I think it means to uphold them or idolize them in a certain way. I think if you compliment actions, I don't think it means that you can't say anything positive, you can't treat them nicely. What I think it means is that you can't idolize, you can't hold them up as being paradigms of virtue and idolizing sports figures. Again, I think those would be all included in this restriction. But Gemara says, okay, so you give hodah. How can you give hodah? How can you look at the beautiful woman to get the brocha? Meitve, it says, v'nishmarta mikol dovara. You have to be careful from anything bad. Shelo yistakel adam bishana ah. You're not allowed to look at a beautiful woman. Aba afilu pnuya, even if she's not married. Beishit ish vayivilu michueret. And an ugly married woman you're not allowed to look at. Velo bibig de tzevel shelisha. And that colored clothing of a woman. We'll see what that means. And there's velo b'chamor velo b'chamura. Right now, but donkeys, pigs, as much as when they are mating, you're not allowed to look at them when they are mating. Even if he's full of eyes, like a malach hamavet, amru, that you have to cover, you're not allowed to look. Now, even if it's, I'd say other peyushim, that it means even if it's in a spectrum of vision, he still has to look away, he has to look down. Although it seems more from the Gemara here that it was malay anayim, because amru alav malach hamavet, kulo malay anayim, that he's full of eyes. Time when a person is sick, omeid me'al rashutav, he stands over his head. V'chavosh lufo, and his sword is drawn biyado. V'tipashu marat luyabo. At the end of the sword is this poison or some sort of drip that's there. Kevin shechole roe oto, he sees the malach hamavet standing over him, mizdazeya. He's shocked. He's afraid. Uputeach piv. He opens up his mouth. V'zorkol otoch piv, and he throws the marat into his mouth. Mimena mates. That kills him. That's what brings him to death. Mimena masriach. That's what causes the body afterwards to decompose. Mimena panav morikot. And from that reason, that his face becomes white. Right? It changes color afterwards. Mara says, Karen zamet habiyai. It was on a corner. Rabbi Kiva, the story of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon Lameo, they were coming around a corner. True, if you're walking down the block, you have to look away, you can't look. But they came around a corner, and they bumped right into them. So they couldn't have a choice. They bumped into them, and that's how they saw it. They saw it. So by that case, when they saw it, by happenstance, just by chance, they saw it. Then they made the bracha. They say, Marubu Asech Hashem. But they can't go out and look to see it. Right, so that story is a little harder by Tunis Rufus's wife. She's specifically coming to attract him, but the Gemara uses that the answer. There are some chilukim. First of all, this benishmatam he called davara has tremendous implications. We're going to see more about big day tzema, which has implications here. Well, but nishneratam he called davara is brought down by the poskim. Rav Moshe, the Igros Moshe, again, I'll send you these, about mixed dancing. Mixed dancing is asur for all one of the reasons, but nishtamatam kol davara is one of the reasons that you can't have mixed dancing and mixed swimming, which is brought down by both by Rav Avadya Yosef and by Rav Moshe and the Igros Moshe. It's a problem. Nishtamatam kol davara. There's an isser min haTorah for these things because a person is going to come and be looking at women in those positions, in those places, and therefore it's a problem. Nishtamatam kol davara. Rav Avadya Yosef is dealing with a question where a person has to go to the beach or to swim in the ocean for medical reasons. Is he allowed to go to a place where it's a mixed beach? Right? Is it, what about Minishmarta Mikol Dabara? So does the Rav Avadya Yosef said there's an Isidore, right? And it's a problem. Minishmarta Mikol Dabara, not getting into the rest of the tshuva, but this Minishmarta Mikol Dabara is a Doraita source for many things, many Isurim that were, we call them today, in modern Orthodoxy, were run over, whether it was mixed dancing, mixed swimming, that people said, oh, that doesn't, the Torah really doesn't answer it. It's here, it's a posuk mim furash, but Torah, Mishmarta Kol Ra, and the poskim apply it to all those cases. Now, I did see a distinction that was drawn as a very important distinction, which the Gemara says, over here, the shelo yistakel adam bishana'a. Now, the word histaklut is different than ri'iyah. Histaklut is to gaze or to look carefully. Riyah is a simple, it's a cursory glance. And that is a big difference, meaning that if one is walking down the street, one doesn't have to bump into walls, right, in order to walk down the street. When walking down the street, they can see things around them, but if you don't gaze, it's psychologically, it's a big difference. A person who just walks down the street and just is walking and doesn't see things, but doesn't gaze at them, doesn't take intent to look, their memory does not pick it up. It does not stay with them. Person, on the other hand, if they turn or they make an intent to look, the memory picks it up and then it remembers it and it sees it. So it's an important distinction between ri'iyah and histaklut. And the Gemara here asks histaklut, which is the major issue. It's histaklut, gazing or intending to look. If one gazes or if one does not look or does not gaze or intend to look, that will not affect them, and that may not be included in the problem nishmarta mikol ra. Now there might be a harchaka or better not to go into these places because the overwhelming percentages are that you're going to end up in this problem. Therefore, one should be careful. But just ri'iyah, which is an important thing, when a person has to go to work, has to go in certain places, should know that if they have to go and they don't have to They can just, they can look around to make sure they don't bump at the walls. They can make sure, but they just don't gaze. They should just look to make sure that they're going through, but don't intend to look or capture what's out there. So that's another important sugya. Now, the next sugya, which is, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, what about these big day isha? That's Amar Shisha. Afilu shtuchim agave kotel. Even if they're hung up on the hanger. Big day tzevo, you can't look at the big day tzevo of a woman even if they're up on a hanger. Samra papa, umakir balehen. That's how you know which woman it belongs to. I mean, if you know which woman it belongs to, then it's also to look at that clothing, because when you see the clothing on the wall, you're going to be able to hire hair after that woman. So you have to know who it belongs to in order for it to be a hero. Or when it's on the woman, then it's also a problem. Now what's the problem? Rashi says over here, Big day tzevo shel isha shezocheret ha'isha kamo shehi melubeshet. He remembers a woman like she's dressed. It makes her beautiful, and therefore he's meher achreah. Rashi says that, and now Rashi again later on says dafka bebig day tzibonim fisha isha na'abahem velo shchiche. Rashi says colored clothing of women specifically because they were not common. It was very uncommon, and therefore the woman looked extra beautiful in the colored clothing, and it was unique. So therefore a person would pay extra attention. And it would capture his eye and she'd be beautiful and cause him hirurim. So that's why it's specific to Big Day Tzeva, and it's specific in their time. So I don't know, today it might be different. Today in our society where Big Day Tzivonim are well found or are easy to come by, there's a possibility that that wouldn't have that distinction of Big Day Tzeva versus Big Day Lavan. I mean, there's no difference. A woman wears Lavan, whereas Big Day Tzeva, we don't look at it as being something unique. Maybe if it's wedding clothing or something like that, where they dress up specifically for a simcha, maybe over there you'd have the restriction like Big Day Tzeva. It has to be something that's unique, lo shchiche, that draws attention and would make the person look extra beautiful in those items. So that's something that a person has to be careful of in terms of their riyah of looking at these things. Amarova, dekanami, I can prove to you, dekani, lo Big Day Tzeva, isha, lo kani, Big Day Tzivonim. Doesn't say you can't look at any colored clothing, it says you can't look at the Big Day Tzeva, isha, of a woman, or Big Day Tzeva, shel isha, of a woman, meaning the woman, you know the woman, you know who it is, it belongs to. So you could see from that. That was only in Atike, that's only with clothing that's already used. New clothing, obviously there's nothing to do with it. If you don't say this, and how do we give clothing to the tailor to fix up, or to the koveis, to the launderer to fix up? How come istakel? He looks at the clothing. If we give our wife's clothing to the tailor to fix it up, then how do we do that? We're giving him clothing of a woman that's unique or specific to a woman. So that's because it's new and not old. So if it's new, she's never worn it, so there's not going to be any hero because she's never seen her in the clothing. When it comes to a farmer is allowed to actively mate between animals. He's actively allowed to take the aver of the animal and place it into the female. So how come? What about hirur? It says, how come istakel? You just said before, the same bright thing, you're not allowed to look at animals mating. Yet here you're allowed to be involved. So why are you suggesting over here as to a chadeti atike? Chadeti atike doesn't apply by animals. So that can't be the permission over here. Elabavite torid. He's involved in his work. He's tarud in his job, in his work. He's focused on his malacha, he's focused on his work, and therefore he's not mehar hair. So therefore, when the farmer does it, he's not mehar hair because he's focused on mating the animals. Hachanami vite torid, also the koveis. Is not focused on the clothing and who it came from and who wore it and all that. He's focused on his work, getting his work done. So therefore, he's not tarid. This is also a heter. Actually, I brought down, if you saw it, I sent you out before the mikorot about lo tikavula davot erva by problems of nigia in terms of taking the dofek, or they're taking the pulse or heartbeat of a woman. If a doctor is allowed to take the heartbeat of a woman, now, I don't. They're talking back already in the time of the Beit Yosef talking about this, and even earlier. So I don't think they're talking with the stethoscope necessarily. And then they're talking about with a hand to feel for a heartbeat, feel for a pulse. Are you allowed to do that for a non-Jewish woman? Are you allowed to do it for a woman at all? So the Gemara, there the Rishonim talk about melachto tarid, that is melachto tarid, and therefore maybe it's permissible in those days, or sakana nefashot. Those are the two heterim over there. It's for this, and the problems come up with the ishto nida. The ishto nida is allowed to take her heartbeat in those instances. But you have this concept that we're going to read. Amar Mar, Mimena Meit, he dies from this. So name a pliga d'avod d'shmo. This argues on the father of Shmo. Amar avod d'shmo, Amar li malach amaret, ilo d'chayshno liyakwa d'briyoto. If I didn't worry about COVID or briyot, I have a piranha beit ha-shchita, I would open up the Beit HaShkita kebeima. I would clear it out and slice it off out in public and bleed all over the place like a beima. So now his suggestion is I do it, but I do it quietly. So the Gemara says, "Dama hayne tipa mechat cholu lesimanim." That's what it means, that that tipa goes down and cuts the simanim. Even though we know that's not the case, but at least figuratively, it cuts the simanim, it causes the death of an individual. Mimena masriach, that causes the rod of the individual to decompose. Psaile the Rabbi Chanina Barkana, Dam Rabbi Chanina Barkana, Amri Beirav, Arut Sesh lo yasriach, Meito, Yabchenu Apanav. Person doesn't want his mate to decompose, turn on its face. Why? Because if it's from the Tipah Shulchan, you turn him over, the Tipah will come out. Tipah comes out, he won't decompose. It's very similar to the Gemara. The Gemara has a similar thing by a woman who doesn't want to get impregnated. She's mehapech on her beten, and therefore she will not become impregnated. She'll have a discharge of the semen that went in, and therefore she will not get pregnant. So the Gemara has a similar concept by a woman that she can turn over, and that will take care of it. So it's over here. If you take over, turn over, then Mara will come up, and everything will be fine. Right, we know obviously that doesn't necessarily work. Tara banan, nishmartem mikol ra. So now, nishmartem mikol ra, davar ra. This includes, and this is even in addition to the issue we saw before about hisdaklut. This is shaloi yehar adam beyom beyavodei tuma b'layla. A person shouldn't think about certain things during the day that will cause him to have a simon or omission at night, because that's what the pasuk talks about. The pasuk nishmartem mikol ra, and then the rest of the pasuk is. Was it that he'll have a mikre lailo? That's what's going to happen. Because of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, this is what Pinchas ben Yair says. Now, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, the girsaot, there's a major machloket in the girsaot over here. Even Tosus himself over here mentions Yerushalmi as a different girsa. And Mesilat Yesharim, who is the who made this Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, this statement of Pinchas ben Yair famous, it also has a slightly different girsa. But you have here, so Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair says, Torah mivei lidei zehirut. Zirut mevei lidei zvizut, zvizut mevei lidei nikiyut, nikiyut mevei lidei pishut, pishut mevei lidei tara, tara mevei chasidut, or kedusha, kedusha mevei lidei anava, anava mevei lidei yirat chet, yirat chet mevei lidei, now if you switch it, it'll be chasidut over here, chasidut mevei lidei ruach hakodesh, ruach hakodesh mevei lidiat chiyat hametim, v'chasidut, alright, so let's say that brings you to chiyat hametim. So now the Gemara says, v'chasidut gedola mikulam, chasidut is the greater of all of them, shenemar, as dibart b'chazon l'chasidecha. When you come to tell about the gula, who are you going to tell the gula about it? L'chasidecha. See, the chasidim are the ones that you come to speak to the gula about. Upligid Rabbi Shuman Levi, dam Rabbi Shuman Levi, anava gedola mikulam. Anava is greater than all of them. Shenemar, ruach Hashem elokim alai, yan mashach Hashem oti, vaser anavim, says I will come to tell the news to the anavim. Chasidim no memar, el anavim. Lamata shenava kudulam kulam, that anavim or anava is the greatest level. So then you have to each one of them. Tosuf deals with what do they do with the other pasuk, right? So he says yeshlamar hatam chasidim k'tiv v'chosh ken anavim. That it means chasidim is certainly anavim, but they need b'sorat agdula pshita chole tole uta b'chashivut. When it comes to b'sorat agula, there by anavim, it's the ones that they give priority to. So now you have a list. What do these items mean? So Rashi gives us an explanation. Zariz, what does it mean? Zrizut. Zariz, v'nishmar kodem lechem. Zizut is when someone takes precaution not to come to an avera. Whereas zihirut is when you're faced with the avera itself, that you're not koshel, you don't fall, you don't trip up on the avera. Zizut is taking precaution to prevent the avera from happening. Zihirut is when you're faced with the avera that you hold yourself back. So that's what Torah Rashi says. Zihirut, if you want to avoid averot, then you'll go to zrizut. And then you'll do zrizut, which will take you further away. You'll take precautions not to come into that position. Zrizut bevein nitikiyut, Rashi says, nakib ein by ein chet. Nakib means it's clear of chet, then. Now, the view nitikiyut bevein prishut. Prishut is af bedavar mutar. Prishut is meant that even things that are mutar, that a person separates himself up. Prishut bevein tara. Tahor is tzach umluban. It's clean, vadif naki. It's even better than a naki. Then he says, tara, mevia lidei. We have kedusha over here. And then kedusha mevili de anavan, anavan mevili de yatchet, yatchet mevili de chasidut, chasidut mevili de ruach kodesh. So Rashi says, really, de ruach kodesh is lashot olav shechina. So Rashi doesn't give us an explanation of the other steps along the way. Here I have the Mesilat Yesharim. So the Yesharim describes. He says, ruach kodesh mevili de tchiyat mitim. Hinei al pi abrayt azot hiskamti lechaber chiburai. I premised my whole sefer on this. Zelola made lets me to teach myself. Let's kill acharim tnai ha'uvudah shleimah le'madrigotam. How do you have shleimut and avodat Hashem? You need to go through these steps. Ve'va'er, and I'll explain each one of them. Hinei ha'inyan, ha'zirut. What's zirut? שאדם נזהר במעשיו ובעניינם, כלומר מתבונן ומפקח על מעשיו ודרכיו הטובים. Him or low. He looks at each item and says, what I'm doing is good or is it bad? Because he doesn't want to go the bad way. And that the zehirut is that I'm looking at each of my actions and I ask, is that action good or is that action bad? Zrizut. Similar to what Rashi said over here, that's precaution, that's looking out, that's having vision about how to get to the mitzvot and how to avoid aveirot. So zirut, according to him, is looking at each specific action, the result is taking precaution. Midat ha-nikayon, which comes after that, hi hayot adam naki legamri mikol midah ra'ah mikol chet. Lo dai bema shechata bo shechet bo mefusam galoi legam ki ma shalev nifate bo lorot heter b'davar. Right, you can't just stay away from chataim that are well known, but even from chataim that everybody says are mutar, stay away from those also. Naki legamri. You know, even things that other people trample on, you also don't do. Then prishut. What is prishut? It's kadesh etzmecha b'mutar lach. That's similar to what Rashi says over here. Next is Torah. What's Torah? He tikkun alev v'machshavot. Torah, one is actions. Until this point we spoke about actions. That's what you're being naki. Naki in your actions. Torah is not only in your actions, but your lev v'machshavot. Your thoughts and your heart, they are clean. And that's what we say. David says, lev tahor, bira li elukim. And then, what comes after is anava. Anava is adam bilti machshiv atzmo mishum ta'am shiyeh. Person doesn't hold himself up, that there's hefech gava. He has no gava, and from this, right, he will be able to keep his machshavot and his masim clear because he knows his true erech. Then, amnam zarech shenaktim kiminei ayira heim bet. There are two types of ira, shem gimel. There's one that is easy to get to, there's the one that's very hard, and there's one that's shlemut. And that's the irata onesh, right, that's the easy one. Irata romimut, fear of what's above, a Kodesh Baruch Hu above us, that's min abet, and yirat ha-chet, chelik b'ibay min, and verata inyanim. Inyan kdusha kaful hu, tainu tchilat avuda v'sofo gmo. Tchilat hishtadoto v'sofo matana. Vainu shtchilat hu hishtadlut, shiyah adam nivdal, v'netak min ha-chumriyut. That's what kdusha. Kdusha in the end means separating oneself from chomer at all. He only lives in the spiritual world, and that's the idea of kdusha, and that's how you reach hashrata shchina. So that's a Mesil Yerushim, just giving definitions to all these terms that are in the Braita of Pinchas ben Yair. Just to finish up the Gemara over here. In Mochrim Lahem, you're not allowed to sell them. Tanur Rabbanan, we're going to have a series of Braitot over here. Tanur Rabbanan, Mochrim Lahem, Ilan Amanat Lakutz, on a condition that he will cut it down. The Kotetz, and he cuts it, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, in Mochrim Lahem, Lakutzai. You can only do that which is cut down. Shachat, stuff that they use, feed for behema. It's where the Rashi over here, it says, interesting, says farina in Laz, which is an interesting term that he uses the word farina. It says shachat, amnat nigzos, on the condition that he cuts it or harvests it, gazuz, and it goes this and he does it, the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir over in mochim naim alakzuza, you have to do it already cut. Kama, this is full grown, like grains, full grown crops. I'm not the ksor in order for him to harvest it, because then he goes and harvests it, there will be mayor, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, in Mochim Le'el Ksura, you have to do it, harvest it. B'tricha, we need all three of these. Diash minan ilan, if I talk about a tree, Bakama, Rabbi Meir came into Loposid, Meshayilah, he doesn't lose anything by leaving it there. A tree, if you leave it there, it keeps producing for you. So why not leave it? Even though you had the condition that he would cut it down, if he doesn't cut it down, he loses nothing. It only grows better and bigger and gives more fruit. Vahai, kidi Meshayilah Posid, but I'm saying, over here, by the Shachat and by the Tzva, that if he leaves it longer, it gets worse. In Ramodile, maybe he would admit to Rabbi Yehuda. Yishmani Mahani Tarti, if you told me about these two, Mishum Lodiya Shibich Shibchayu. Don't know if it'll be better. You don't know what the outcome will be in the end. By a tree and by Tua, you won't know what the final outcome will be. If you keep it around, you don't know what the, you can't quantify the benefit. By Shachat, we know that the longer you leave it in, they'll be better and it's going to grow a little more because it's premature, really. Shachat is premature grain. Then we know Shavchayu. Rabbi Meir. Maybe over there, Rabbi Yehuda would agree to Rabbi Meir that he would leave it around and therefore he would have to, we'd have to be careful in that case and not sell it. If he is over here, Baha Kama Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. There he says, like, Rabbi Meir, and then he'll be Mother Yehuda. Tzricha. Therefore, we need all of them. Since each one has a unique aspect, so they have unique aspects to them, even though, if you really, in the end, if you put two of them together, you really could come up with a solution. If you use, I think, Kama and shachat, then it would be kosher cane to an ilan. Because it says it's really a low zuav zu still. You have to say that about the braita because you can't come up with a perfect solution. On the condition that he shechs it, what's the din? Now, wait a minute, right before we said, what do you mean amanat l'shchot? It could be tole b'shchita. What do you need to be amanat l'shchot? That's what Tosus asks. He says that before. He says, Perish Rashbam, that says before that it was unique to a para, that case. That was why it was good. But according to the Perish Kuntris, that we're talking about any behema, you have to say we're talking about agalim sayachim, which are otherwise asur to sell to them. Only if they're going to shech them are you allowed to sell them. Can you do it on condition they shech them? Oh. Why is the reason that he permits it in these cases? Because the shachat, the tefillah, the eitz are in your possession. So you could force him to cut it down. You can throw it. You say, look, if you don't cut it down, I'm going to keep it. Therefore, he won't leave them around. When he buys the behemah, he takes it back home. Then he can keep it around. Maybe it makes no difference. Tashma. Tanya behemah amanat l'shchot. V'shichet, right? Shochet. It should be really shochet, I think. You didn't mind, but I think probably should be shochet. That you do go ahead and check it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda says fine. Rabbi Meir Omer, you have to have it be shkuta in order to give it over to them. Same machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda straight throughout, as we saw in our Mishnah, the statement in our Mishnah, it carries out throughout all these different items. I will send you again, please God, I'll send you the Makorot so you have some. It's a huge daf in terms of important items that come out of this daf. Stop here.